upstairs. That's the shelf.
Okie doke. This is part three of a series of interviews taken on May 2nd. It's the 2nd of May, 2025. And there are three of us here today. Landis Arnold, LandisArnold. John Weisheit, WeisHeit. And Tom Martin. We are in Tabernacle, Colorado. Landis Arnold is describing the five kayaks he's donating to the John Wesley Powell Museum in Green River, Utah. And this is the third boat now we're looking at. This is Bradley boat number three. And it is similar in design to Bradley boat number one, except it doesn't have the bump outs for the knees on the outside of the boat. They're not visible at all. The boat has that same very fine, very thin fiberglass, Mastercraft fiberglass work. And it's also a very long boat, just like the other one.
So we're gonna real quickly unwrap. Let's unwrap this end. This is, sorry to splice in there, Landis talking. This is Bradley 2, and this is a real, very illustrative of how fiberglass changed the way people could think and relate to a hull. You know, a hull of a kayak is it's actually an exoskeleton of your body. And with fiberglass, you could shape different shapes quite easily and change your whole, what's happening to you, not just the boat, but to you. So this one has some more whitewater characteristics in it. It's got rocker, and it's got bluntness. If that makes sense, I'll put this back so we can figure this up here.
We'll take it right there. Okay. Come on down.
Okay, great. So the big variance in this boat is if you go side to side, we've got this kick at the end, and we've got a wider profile. And if we go under here, we have a wider, more blunt-ish shape, especially on the bow.
I see it, yep.
It's similar running through the length of the boat.
But no keel.
Much less of a sharp keel. Yeah, much less of a sharp keel. And if we go to the back, we're gonna see that as well. Pick it up. There we go. Sorry about the dust. So here it's kicking up again. A little blunt still, and if we flip it, there's even less of a keel still. So this is real, starts to become butter knife-like on the back. So real easy to bring it around in an eddy.
Got it.
You can see he was using it in more whitewater, so there is some wear through here. It's been reinforced. It may have been patched. I don't think it was. Mm-hmm. I think there's a whole extra layer of fiberglass we see on this.
Right. It looks like he's cut through the first, the outermost layer of fiberglass, and the second layer in is exposed here.
Yeah.
On the keel area, not so much on the sides of the boat, though the paint has all been peeled off the sides of this boat. This boat's been used a lot. Well loved.
Yeah. And it's, it's basically the paint, I think, is a gel coat.
Okay.
It's probably got a little damage right here.
It's a light blue. Yes, this is the right gunnel here. Up near the nose has a little ding there.
Yeah. We've got some boat fitting, like grab loop, is it?
Yeah, he actually has a boat loop. What do you call these things? A T.
This one is for a rope.
The back is just a rope loop.
And then the front's a T, but they're basically marine hardware, right?
Yeah.
So he's bought some marine hardware.
Now here, the knee braces have moved to the inside of the boat.
Yeah. And this type knee brace actually
I have it did some foam things like this in like 1980, but it was a new thing in modern boats 10 years ago, adjustable knee braces. So it's like a big cycle. And he was way before that, albeit he was doing a few boats, right? It was him, his family, some friends. Maybe he sold a boat or two, but an industry.
If you were to date this boat, you would say between years what and what?
I'm going to say this boat's probably 1965.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
All right.
And I think the other boat is maybe 1962. But that can move. That could move, I'd say, 5 years either direction.
Okay.
Probably 65 to 70 seems late. Maybe 68, 65, 68.
Okay. Can you tell me about the seat here?
So this is the same seat, except that it hasn't been shaved on the edge. So it's actually got, it's more of the
original
Eames cafeteria seat.
Mm-hmm.
It's got this rollover there. And then he's customized it with a little crotch pad. That's, if you look at modern whitewater boat, you get one of those.
Absolutely.
So you don't move around.
It locks you in the seat.
Yeah.
Was he rolling in this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, he was rolling. And
did he pick up roll early? Was he rolling in his first kayak?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think they were all trying to roll, but it varied.
When did
they
get good at it? Yeah, yeah.
And there were hip pads, I'm pretty sure, in here that are not visible, but
there's a bracket for
something
there.
So this is adjustable seat.
Oh, for the
position.
Okay.
But, and you could move, I don't know exactly how to get that out of there. I don't want to break it.
It doesn't feel like it comes out. It feels like it has to be unbolted here to come out.
Okay, so let's leave that. So it's possible that that whole piece could move forward. So that would be, you know, a real tall person needs their seat further back, and a shorter person needs the seat more forward. So that your trim is correct, you know, you don't want your bow sticking up too much. You don't want your bow sticking down too much. So, being able to adjust the trim is a nice feature. And he still has those removable bulkheads.
I see them
in this one and in this one.
Yep.
And so that seat has to be removable to get to that.
Right.
Right. One other difference in this is that this cockpit rim is more pronounced. And really, this is a cool cockpit rim because if water comes on the deck, it would actually reverse itself and flow backwards.
Right.
Most modern boats don't do that. They rely just on the skirt. This will take a skirt, but you could paddle this boat in easy water without a skirt and really get very little water into it, even if you had some on the deck.
It's a nice wave deflector.
Yeah.
And it also looks very much similar to today's, you know, they're a little not quite so pronounced, but this oval size
that
now
shape,
is starting to look skirtish.
Yeah, and if we measure this, I'm going to say that's probably, I got a measuring tape up, it's probably a 34 inch cockpit. Maybe 29, so it's pretty short.
Okay.
So new cockpits will be 32, 34, or 36, and still be able to roll, right? So you could roll with it being that long. Part of that is that the distance gets longer in the back.
Hmm.
So as this gets longer, it's actually getting longer both directions.
Okay.
But anyway, that's number two. This is definitely the more kind of whitewater tuned. And it's just that, you know, on the one hand, it's a very small change. But on another hand, if you're in a mountain river,
it's a big
deal. It's going to be a much drier bow. And
Was he running the Fibarc? Was he trying to run those races? And
I don't think he ran the Fibarc, but he certainly would run the Arkansas. He would run Fraser Canyon right from Tabernash to Granby, which is like kind of the top of the Colorado kayaking.
Yeah.
It's right, you know, quarter
right
mile
here.
From here.
How cool is that? Would he just walk his boat down there?
You know, it's
was he
always
here? Did he start from here? Did he park here with your parents?
He'd probably start by the post office.
Oh, okay.
Or like there's this creek going by my parents. I've put in at US 40. there's like three creeks that come together in Tabernacle.
To give you enough water to do it?
So there's the Fraser, the main Fraser, there's Meadow Creek, and then this is, it's actually a combination of Pole Creek and Crooked Creek coming together.
Okay.
And so it kind of gathers right here, and you can go on.
You get enough water to go.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And he, you know, used to tell my dad, hey, yeah, gotta run Fraser Canyon. It's really cool.
Lovely.
So that's that boat.
Okay.
And again, the real nice paint design. It's gel coat over. Pretty uncommon.
Again, super, super amazingly thin fiberglass detail.
Yeah.
Smooth inside
super
and out.
Super smooth. It's like not itchy whatsoever.
No. It's not even rough.
Yeah. Feel like inside that boat.
Yeah. Really it's rough. Just like, who cares about the inside? Yeah. We're not going to finish it. These
and
are
these
finished.
Are just,
Yeah.
So he was working it, and you know,
got a little screw here.
And I think that's to position
somewhere?
The bulkhead. I'm not positive,
right.
But I think so.
Okay.
So this has got that bulkhead, which is shaped like this. So if you
like
can imagine, you know, if a bulkhead, most bulkheads are square in the hull's here, and you hit a rock, the boat flexes up, and then it hits the bulkhead, and it'll do two things. It'll pop the bulkhead out, or it might break the hull there.
Yeah.
And by shaping it like this, it's like a spring function.
Mm.
Oh.
Okay?
Cool.
It's
moves
like,
a little bit.
Yeah. It doesn't have the same kind of T
sharp
compression.
Yeah.
That's much worse than this.
Yes.
I don't know anybody else who's ever done it, but I want to make some bulkheads like that. We'd put foam bulkheads in boats like this.
Yeah.
That doesn't even have it. But a foam bulkhead has some compression too.
Yeah, isn't
so
good.
That's another way to do it.
What's the screw for?
I don't know.
We were talking about there's a bulkhead here, and it might have something to do with that.
I actually think it might be to tie stuff into your boat. I don't know.
An air vent?
It might be,
I mean,
you know, he might have a pulley system
going
here to drive gear in and out. I've seen that done before, and it might be happening here. I don't know.
Hmm.
We'd have to explore inside. And that might explain what's going on there, that there could be a pulley fastened underneath that.
Hmm.
I have had boats with pulley, with eye bolts hanging inside that you could essentially do that. You just have a line, and you load bags to all the way to the bow that way.
Cool.
And then you pull the bag back.
Cool.
Okay.
All right.
I'm
going to turn this off.
Yep.
This will end part three, May 2nd, 2025, with the Bradley boat number 2.